With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How tense were things for you guys over the last couple of days, knowing that if you went to Milwaukee down 2-0, that would be pretty bad?
Honestly, we weren't that tense. We all knew that we were going to respond well. As a team, we never really get like that. We trust one another. Even if we ended up 0-2, we knew that we were going to fight back and you know, compete in this series. So for us, it was just a matter of, you know, approaching the game as if we had to make those adjustments. And when we did, we knew we would have success.
And then the way Jalen started, how much of a lift did that give you guys?
Yeah, he came in and locked in. You could tell from just now how he approached when he came to the arena hours early before the game. I saw it in his eyes. So at the start of the game, I was just like, all right, do your thing. And we were supporting and cheering, you know. And he established that tone, set that mark of the aggression on the offensive end of not only just playing the right way and knocking down open shots, but also moving it. And it's one of those things that he's improved on throughout his career. And you have to admire that about him, that he's continued to get better, him and JT both. And JB was a huge leader and a huge component of this win tonight.
All right, back with another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. I am Josue Pavone, alongside Joel Pavone, Sean Dutra. Believe it or not, he's in Disney World right now. Disney World.
Oh, sorry, my
Disney
bad.
World.
Disney World.
But I see.
I was confused.
I see what movie you're quoting, though. Yeah. I wonder if people will get that reference. It's been quite a while since that movie came out.
Disneyland.
But we got Zach Pelequin of CausewayStreet.com. He's gonna check in like a few minutes while I set the table here as the Boston Celtics, man. Coming off one heck of a win against the Milwaukee Bucks, winning game two of their best of seven series, 109-86. A lot of people were wondering how the Celtics will respond without Marcus Smart, with the defense that was thrown at them in game one and the way they faltered in that second half. But man, did they respond in a big way. Man, did Jaylen Brown respond in a big way. 17 points in the first quarter. He finished with 30. Jason Tatum finished with 29. He only had 10 at halftime. Honestly, man, like the first half, if you ask me, the best defense I've seen from this team all year long. And without Marcus Smart, man, that speaks volume. Yeah, man. A big part of that defense was Grant Williams, man. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about him.
Batman?
I'm going to make sure we spend a lot of time talking about Grant because, man, he impressed the hell out of me in game two. But before I keep rambling on and on, let's bring in Zach Pelequin. Let's talk about game two, Zach.
Let's dissect, my dude.
Let's dissect. Let's dig in here because I know, it's like we talked about right before we started recording. I know after game one, Zach was just like, whoa, what the heck happened here? So after game two, I want you to tell me exactly what happened, you know, with the Celtics and their approach, or better yet, what happened with the Bucks, I guess, in their approach compared to what we saw in game one.
Well, I don't think the Bucks really changed all too much at all. I think there were really two factors that you saw change from game one to game two. One, I think Boston was ready. You know, the whole entire game one, I thought they looked kind of shocked to see that another team in the NBA would actually play a physical ball game against them. And, you know, Milwaukee came out there. They looked really tough, really rugged, and completely honest. I thought the referees let the let Giannis kind of get away with a little bit in game one, which set the tone. And I don't think Boston was really ready. And I think, you know, going back and forth on Twitter with a few people, which I do so well. I just don't think that Brooklyn series really got them ready for what they were going to face against Milwaukee. So I think it was a little bit of a culture shock, if you will, that they were going to walk into a team that was really, you know, was going to play a physical style of basketball that they just really weren't ready for after beating up on Brooklyn in their more finesse style. And what you saw from Boston in game two, they, I thought, were much more physically ready, it seemed, for Milwaukee than they had been in game one. Obviously, they shot the ball incredibly well throughout the course of the first half and at times in the second half as well, especially the three ball where they had what I believe it ended up being the largest disparity in terms of one team hitting threes versus the other for total in the playoffs. I think more threes over their opponent than anyone else had ever done before. So, that obviously helps. And then on top of that, I thought they played with a lot better spacing. You know, we saw in the first half, I thought they were much better spaced. I thought guys got shots that were much more in rhythm versus what we saw in game one, where it looked like there was a lot of, you know, forcing, a lot of forced ISO. And unfortunately, we saw Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and several of the other guys kind of struggling a little bit, I thought, in the second half, which made it a much closer game than it really needed to be. But overall, much better game in game two, and they looked a lot more ready for Milwaukee on every level, really.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like the difference between game one and game two, well, one of the many differences was the way the Bucks just was getting them at half court, making them uncomfortable, making them rushing them into their offense. That's exactly what they wanted them to do, right? Making them, you know, force passes or another thing was the way they anticipated those passes, right? I was like, man, these guys have done their homework. You could tell that they were looking at Celtics' film. They just knew Boston style, but in game two, it was completely different. Like, they were getting into their offense where they wanted to. They weren't wasting any time. They weren't giving the Bucks any chances to sit back and think about what was going to happen. And then, you know, to see Jaylen Brown go off the way he did, they had no answer for that. And Jaylen just didn't stop. It just made them look vulnerable. It made the Bucks look weak. And when you look at the difference, though, in the box score, I mean, one of the biggest things that stands out is the 23-pointers. I mean, I don't know if you can realistically expect that from the Celtics from night in and night out, but between game one and game two, I just feel like there's been that sort of curveball from one end or the other. And I'm just sitting here waiting to see what happens next. Like, how is obviously the Bucks going to respond in one way, right? But also in another way is if Marcus is not there, or if, you know, if he does come back, how much of, you know, him playing hurt is going to play a factor? How much of Jaylen Brown, who's clearly hurt right now, playing through this right now, is going to play a factor, you know, because this is the longest break, you know, this is the longest break both of these teams are going to get throughout this best of seven series, and seeing how they respond, especially on the road, is going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Jaylen Brown injury is a weird one, because it seemed like for a good portion of that game he was fine, and then kind of late you saw him get a little bit tight with the hamstring. He was and back at it a few times, but he still looked pretty explosive. So it was kind of a strange one. So I don't know if that's one of those deals where he's got an injury that certain movements cause the issue, or certain things that he's doing on the court are causing the issue. But yeah, I mean, this break right here is huge. You know, obviously we've got another day or so before they play again. And, I think the big one is going to be Marcus Smart, getting him back on the court, you know, making sure that he's healthy again. And, I believe the injury was what, a quad contusion, yes, which typically gets better over the course of time. You know, it's one of those things where you give it a few days or a week or whatever, and you're going to be able to overcome it. So, you know, he's in a situation where I think Smart's going to get back and he'll be healthy and ready to go. And you know, we can't forget the guy that, you know, came into this playoffs with probably the biggest injury issue was Rob Williams. And he looked pretty bouncy in game two. So, you know, even getting him a little bit more time, of course, is going to be a good thing for them. The only downside is it gives a little bit of time to a Milwaukee team that's run a little short-staffed. I think Giannis looked a little tired, a little winded by the end of that game too, because they are putting a lot of pressure on him to go out there and kind of carry the offensive load for them. And, you know, giving him that extra time, it can't do anything but help him as well. So,
Yeah, I mean, I felt like in that third quarter, you know, they're up by 25, and I think a lot of the refs reviewing like fouls,
that killed
the momentum for both teams, really.
Yeah, right. But more so, it killed the momentum for Boston.
Yeah,
like late in the second half for a team that's trying to close out. Like, if you're the Bucks, you want all of that. Like, you want all those extra breathers. You want all that stoppage of play because you're just trying to steal that momentum.
Yeah, because I really felt like that's when Jalen was walking around more, kind of like
that's when
grabbing his hamstring.
That's when someone cramps up.
Yeah.
The stoppage,
exactly. Yeah. And
that's a good point.
I mean, you can't control that, obviously. That's not either team's fault. But, I mean, at the same time.
Get it together, refs.
Yeah.
Right. Get it together.
At the same time, when that happens, like how do you stay warm? Like, you know, this is in the middle of the play getting reviewed. Does Jalen hop on the bike? Oh, I don't know. Like that's just weird.
You might have to,
right? Shit. But overall, though, the defense was probably the 3-pointers are always they're gonna have the headlines, right? They're gonna steal the headlines in a game like this, you know.
Especially my boy Grant getting 6 of them,
right?
Knocking down 6 of them.
You know, 13 out of 20 in the first half. 20 for the game, franchise record, all that good stuff. But the defense, because they decided not to double onto Antetokounmpo, I think that was huge. That was huge when it came to the man to man. You know, the Grant called it, you know, being on an island. I thought that was an interesting take. He was taking elbows like it was his job. Essentially,
because he's able to do that. You know, not a lot of teams have that switchability that. You know, someone like Grant to be out on an island defending Giannis. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Al Horford, obviously, a huge game, you know, with a double-double. When those two weren't on the court, I felt like Robert Williams had a little bit of a hard time with Antetokounmpo, though. Mm. So I don't know if it's him just getting back into the swing of things. But again, this can't be understated. The rest between, game 2 and 3, that's going to be huge. I think for the front court and for obviously Marcus Smart, hopefully he's back because it's not a guarantee yet.
Well, Zach, what do you make of Grant Williams' performance? Because obviously it was huge. It came in a game that was clearly a must win for the Celtics, in a game where they needed that extra muscle on the defensive end without their leader, Marcus Smart, and that bomb drops just 2 hours before tip off. And Grant Williams said, looked at everyone and said, say less. And scores a career high 21 points. And like Joel talked about, just some stellar defense. Like, how much could Celtics fans rely on that throughout the series? And not just that stat line in particular, but just this sort of defense, this sort of him being a pest, but I guess the best way to put it on Giannis, man. Giannis was just kind of looking over his shoulder, most of the night.
Doing his best semi.
Yeah, yeah, he was the
straight up wall.
Giannis stopper, if you will.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I mean, it's not overselling it to say that it was the best game of Grant Williams' career. I mean, that's kind of point blank. And definitely, especially in that moment, too, where you're looking at a game where, if Boston loses that game, this series turns into a mountain to climb. You can drop one at home and probably pick one up in Milwaukee. You drop the first two to start off a series in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Vegas is going to be against you. We'll just put it that way. You're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And for him to show up like that, to have him have that kind of game is massive, no doubt about it. Especially on top of all of it, the absence of Marcus Smart in that game where you knew you needed that player who was going to bring the energy and bring that nasty attitude that was going to kind of set the physical tone for Boston. So huge on all regards. And then guarding Giannis, I mean, is it not the weirdest thing in the world that Boston somehow finds these muscle bound guys that are like 6'6" to defend the biggest, the Greek freak to go out there and take care of him. And somehow that's a defensive matchup that he struggles with. I don't get it. I don't know if it's just the fact that these guys are. I don't know if it's just you got two little fire hydrants, in terms of,
I don't know. I think you got to tip your cap to Danny Ainge. I think this is Danny Ainge's fingerprints. you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, Grant Williams, and I saw this on, again, on my favorite Twitter. You know, people were like, oh, you know, did they grab him if they wanted Semi Ojeleye to be originally? And I mean, my thought always was that they were trying to get Grant Williams to be kind of a Draymond Green light.
Yeah.
You know, right.
that's what I saw in the mock drafts for sure that summer.
Yeah. And that's what and what we saw in game two. I mean, that was kind of it. You know, you give him a versatile defender who's not easy to push around, who can stand up against, you know, the MVPs of the league and be able to put in a good defensive effort and then knock down any of the open shots that he gets. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it ends up, you have Grant Williams with the best game of his career and probably, you know, outside of Jaylen Brown going absolutely nuts, was one of the best players on the court for the Celtics period.
Yo, he's Draymond Horford.
For real, right? Yeah.
He's Draymond Horford's official. He's Draymond Horford. That's
right, right.
He's a hybrid.
He made sense. He was like, yo, he's little Horford out there, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? The IQ of Horford, you know, the outside shot of Horford, because I'd say it's slightly better, probably significantly better, especially in the last couple of years. People, yeah. I'm still thinking of like 2015 Draymond, 2017, or whatever that year was when he was doing that. But yeah, hybrid of that, but then that grit, that toughness, that, you know, not giving up any space that you see from Draymond. Yeah, I see a lot of that in Grant Williams, because that was the thing. That was the thing that was driving me crazy with Giannis's, you know, his drives to the rim, because he can take up all this space. It's such a thin line between a foul and a huge stop. And Grant, I feel like, is starting to master that right now. You know, listen, I'm not saying this is going to happen throughout the course of a 7-game series. That this is what happens throughout the course of a 7-game series. Teams adjust. All right. Milwaukee probably like Budenholzer was just like, what the fuck was that from Grant? So they're going to adjust. You know, I'm not sure we're going to see the same stat line that we saw out of Grant, but that defense on Giannis, that's something I think could carry over to Milwaukee. At least I'm hoping it does.
Jrue Holiday was like, you're the one who told us not to guard him when he's shooting threes. He hit six of them. He hit six of them, coach. What do you want us to do?
Dude hit six, coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's like essentially, right? The first, what was this, his third year?
Third year, all yeah. Right.
The first two years of his career.
Well, I don't know. In my opinion, there's a difference between year one and year two. Year two was bad. That was bad.
Yeah, Grant, I just feel like in the first year in the bubble, like I felt like he was just a guy to just absorb fouls, right? You throw him in there, bang around a little bit, but like he wasn't good at anything.
Yeah.
Right? Between year one and year two, it's like, what is Grant good for in terms of just picking up fouls, or just like he's just an extra six fouls that you throw in there from time to time?
What is he good at?
But he worked on his body. He worked on his shot, not just like a mid-range. No, he worked on his 3-point shooting.
Yeah, well, when you miss 23 in a row as a rookie, I feel like that would haunt me forever.
Like you're shooting.
So I would work on my shooting so much so that I'll make sure that there's no way that could ever happen.
Yeah, he's turned into a 3-and-D guy. Like in this league, if you're not a starter, if you're not a bona fide role player, like you know what your role is, you're a 3-and-D guy. Those are the three options. And if you're not in one of those three things, which Grant wasn't in the first 2 years.
Probably not in rotation.
Exactly. So, and I'll still keep bringing this up. Like, when the Celtics traded for Hernan Gomez, I was like, good, Grant is gone. Like, I don't need to see Grant anymore. Yeah, I said it in the podcast. I remember saying it on the podcast. I was like, the fact that
Stevens
able to trade Carson Edwards, I was like, oh my God, this is a blessing. Like, you got rid of Carson Edwards, and I don't have to see Grant Williams. I thought he was going to gobble up Grant Williams' minutes.
Well, when you find out about Schroeder, too, you're just like, all right, let's do it.
Like, he's completely turned my opinion around. You know, I'm sorry, Grant, if you're listening. Like, I believe in you. You're not just like, you know, he's not just throwing you in there like, please give me something, you know, Grant. Like, you know like, Joel, he's throwing you in there for a purpose.
He actually told me that you're his favorite host on Causeway Street.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I think you're lying, but I'll take it.
All that's out the window now.
Yeah, right. But, you know.
Joel, I don't think that's true.
Like, like, he had a top-notch two-way performance. 6 threes is great. Obviously, 21 points.
There's like a star out there.
On defense, he was having fun out there. Like, you can see it. But yeah, I took the elbow to the mouth. Whatever, it's all good. Like, and he's still asking. He's still asking.
Is that all you got, champ?
Yeah, no, but he's still asking. Remember Grayson Allen when he was like trying to be on top? He's like, yo, you don't want this smoke from Grant Williams, bro.
Yeah,
you don't want all the smoke from Grant Williams. You know? But Grant is still that nice of a dude to be like, yo, you good, bro? Like, you're all right. Like, you know, If you really want the smoke, I'll give it to you. But I just want to make sure you know you think twice before you actually want the smoke.
Text me after the game.
Yeah, for real. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, Smart is usually your third leading scorer, right? Smart out, and with the combination of Grant Williams, Robert, and Grant, and Al Horford, those three, they stepped up on the defensive end.
Yeah.
86 points?
That's why you didn't see Tice. And I don't mean that in a bad way. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. That's why you didn't see Tice.
Some people are still mad about that, but like, he knows what he's doing. Like, the defense was on point. The first game, though, I don't think that was like the worst game in the world. You lost by 12. And I think the defense on Giannis just improved dramatically from game one to game two. And it was, you know, he's shooting, what, 38% in the series?
Yeah.
So,
well, can I ask a question on that? So when it comes to the defense on Giannis, have you ever in your history of watching basketball seen referees call the game the way that they did in the first half of game two and the change to what we saw at halftime to what we saw in the second half? I've never seen a game be called so loosely in the first half and then tighten up so fast in the second half, especially against Giannis, which it was actually the opposite, where they were calling the fouls on him and the offensive fouls on him, and then all of a sudden the second half, we're gonna get back to letting him run people, just steamroll people. Like, what the hell happened there?
You're right. He should have fouled out of that game with all the charges that weren't called. And you're calling it on Tatum, you're not calling it on Giannis.
To answer your question, probably the last time was probably like LeBron. The first stint with the
Cavs,
yeah, like one of like maybe 2010 or so, but like yeah, you make a good point though. It's been a long time. It's been a really long time. Now that was crazy because the elbow thing is what drives me nuts. And then also, there's a such thing as a no call, right?
Yeah, like, right. It doesn't have to, okay. You don't have to call something. Yeah,
right, if it's not a charge, you don't have to call it the other way. Like, that's what drove me crazy, especially with the one when I think Jalen took in transition. I don't think that was a charge. I mean, it was. I don't even know if it was 50-50, but in that instance, if you're not quite sure if it's 50-50, then it's a no call, you know? But yeah.
When you got the commentator saying, like, I guess the refs decided to, let Giannis just roll over people in the second half versus what was being called in the first half. Yeah. Then there's an issue. There's an issue. And gotta love Stan Van Gundy. You gotta love both Van Gundy brothers, actually, when they, when they're on the call, because they'll tell how it is when it comes to the refs.
It's like they're just like back in the day when they were just growing up talking shit.
Yeah, about right. Ball, like, yo, these fucking refs suck today.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, with this series now switching to Milwaukee, the shift from game two to game three, like, do the Celtics do more of the same, or should they like mix it up now? Because, you know, 93 threes in two games, that's a lot of three pointers.
Yeah, I mean, that's not sustainable, like, realistically.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you saw it in the second half, I thought, against or in game two, where you fall in love with that three point shot. You can shoot a team, you can run away and hide with a lead, and you can also shoot a team back into a game. And I think in a lot of ways we saw some of those, some of the happenings of that, you know, in the second half of game two. And I think that Boston has to kind of, this is the one thing that I haven't seen them do incredibly well yet. And that's have situational identification of how to approach their offense. You know, it seems they kind of have one gear and one gear only. And, you know, when they get scoring, they want to shoot. And the first open guy that gets that ball is putting it up. It doesn't matter who it is or where they are. That ball is going up. And, you know, in some cases, you're sitting there like, okay, you know, what if we make one more pass and we try to get to the rim? You know, we try to find Robert Williams on a lob or something like that. Or, you know, get Tatum or Brown, and maybe not so much Brown right this second, but one of those guys going to the rim, you know, get to the free throw line. Felt like they fell in love a little bit with that three-point ball in the second half of game two. And, you know, I think when this team's really rolling, you're seeing Derek White, you're seeing Marcus Smart, you're seeing Jaylen Brown, you're seeing Jason Tatum, you're seeing all of these guys, even Grant Williams at times, being able to kind of get into the paint and make that pass from the paint outside or get all the way to the rim. You know, don't be afraid. I mean, I feel like, you know, Al Horford had, gosh, you know, maybe a half dozen opportunities in the paint or around the rim that he kicked back out. And I just don't know. You got to try to get that ball in the paint. You know, you can't have such a discrepancy between Milwaukee, which is what kept them reasonably close in that game, you know, because of the fact that they were getting into the paint and they were making short jumps. So they were getting to the rim. And I think Boston has to get a little bit of that. You got to see a little bit more Robert Williams. You got to see a little bit more Al Horford inside, you know, Tatum and Brown getting to the rim. And I think that that's going to be really key for them going forward is that, you know, yes, they have a couple of very good shooters and they have what I like to call streak shooters. These guys can get super hot and they can make up, you know, 12, 15 points in a matter of minutes, but they can also give a team back, you know, 12 or 15 points in a matter of minutes too with a bunch of empty possessions. So, you know, for me, I think offensively, they've got to be careful with what they're doing. And I think defensively, keep up the pressure, and all honesty, they got to go right into that, that Brooklyn Nets series mindset where we're going to play physical. We're probably going to have a few extra fouls out there, but we're going to wear these guys down, you know, one way or another.
Yeah. But I agree with everything.
Is it sustainable? Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said, but at the same time though, don't you think, you know, from game one, having only 16 assists, that ball was barely moving. It was stuck to, you know, the one person that was coming up the court and just, you know, one pass or not even a pass and shooting early in the shot clock, to in game two where you make the defense, you know, you tire out the defense essentially, and they're exactly. Just, you know, that one extra pass, and maybe they were with that mindset more so in the second half because they were kind of coming back a little bit, the Bucks. I just think they got to find some, I don't know, some consistency on trying to mix it up. I think that's probably like their main thing that I think they need to clean up, you know, heading over to Milwaukee. But I think that was, you know, you go from 16 assists to 28 assists, you know, it's a big jump in terms of finding the open man, and things change when the ball is moving instead of sticking, you know, the ball was popping.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the interesting stat lines that came out of that game was Derek White didn't score a basket. And you think about that, a lot of the people that I was talking to, they'd say, damn, that's crazy, because he actually felt like he had one of his better games, you know, even though he didn't put the ball in the hoop, you know, he was still helping move that ball. And he's got, I know it sounds kind of weird, but he's got an element to his game that kind of reminds me of what Gordon Hayward was for this team a couple of years ago, not necessarily in his, you know, position or anything that, but it feels like when this team kind of starts to slow down, he's willing to put the ball in his hands and find the open man. And, you know, I think that's something that maybe this team had been missing for a little while. And I think seeing that again, where they're willing to move that ball, like you said, I think that's huge. You know, that when they're passing, when they're moving that ball, even when they're overly unselfish, it still ends up working out well for them. So, you know, their ability to move that ball is that's what it's all predicated on. And when they're doing that, the open threes show up. And then that's when you see guys like Brown and Tatum and Smart and all these guys are, you know, start knocking down threes. And this team's able to open up some really, really good leads and win basketball games when it's all said and done.
All right, Zach, how's it going to break down in Milwaukee? All right. Two games, game three, game four. How do you see this thing playing out?
Well, you know, Milwaukee in that first game kind of, you know, even though they were beating up on the Celtics, that was kind of a punch in the face for me too. Just from our conversation before the series, it was like, I didn't think they were going to have that in them, but I probably shouldn't have underestimated the heart of a champion. you know, they looked the part, you know, but I still think Boston, and as this series goes on, is going to have a better and better chance, unless something unforeseen happens in terms of injuries or something like that. I think their odds go up as the series goes on for them to win. I look for them to come out in game three incredibly aggressive and try to win that game, because if they win one in Milwaukee, we're back to all square, meaning they then hold home court again. And, you know, even if this thing does go long, we do go to game seven by any chance, you're going to get that home court back. So, you know, I think you got to stay aggressive in game three, see if you can bring that one home. Assumptively, you're going to get Marcus Smart back on the court this weekend when they play that game. And if they can win that one, you know, you really do kind of put Milwaukee's back against the wall. And then it's going to be a question of, okay, how does Milwaukee react? You know, for all the for all the jokes that have been made about Mike Budenholzer over the years, I think he's a pretty good coach in terms of being able to adjust
right
to difficult situations.
Yeah,
so,
that's why I'm, you know, like, what's going to happen? I'm like, I'm curious. You know?
Plus, this home crowd, yo, they're not. It's not. This is not Brooklyn. This is like a college crowd. You know, meets, I don't know, like
Milwaukeeans. Milwaukeeans. Which one is it?
Milwaukee. I don't know. Milwaukeeans? I don't know.
Milwaukeeans sounds way much funnier, though. I had to say that. Milwaukeeans.
San Diegans.
San Diegans. But like, you know, but like, we're quoting. Come on, leave us alone.
But like, yeah, like if I think the Celtics have to win game three, because if you give the Bucks that confidence plus that home crowd, like the game four mm-hmm. becomes that much more difficult.
Are you calling it a must win?
I think so.
No, I'm just kidding. I hate that saying.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're right.
It's the playoffs. Every game's a must win. Yeah,
that's true. You're right.
That's one quote from Coach Steve Nash that I agree with throughout that series. All right, Zach. We'll check in with you next week. Who knows how long Deutch is going to be in Disney? I don't even know how long.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Jeez. Man.
Especially Deutch. Like, lives down there now.
I know, right? He might even move down there. Wouldn't put it past him. Actually, that would really surprise me. But Zach, we appreciate you. Either way, if Deutch is here now, we'll check back in with you, man. You'll be our playoff guy. So keep up the good work, of course.
Sounds good, gentlemen. We'll be talking.
Later. This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all your latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And don't forget, this weekend, as the Run to the Roses is on at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casinos and poker games. It's easy to get started, so head to our website today, or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
I'm glad you brought up the officials because, man, this whole let's all huddle up and try to figure this whole thing out instead of trying to get it right. And then.
Like, there's three of you.
And then. That Milwaukee game, oh no, that, not the Milwaukee game. The one that stands out the most for me is what happened between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, where they elected to do a jump ball with like 20 something seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, in the game. And the right call should have favored the Warriors, and they did win the tip, but like, I just don't understand how these referees, like, they have the resources. They've been implementing, you know, this has been implemented for a while now. And then after all the time, after all the reviews, they still can't make a call. So they go for the jump ball. Like, they got to get it right in one instance, right? In the second instance, especially what we've been seeing between the Celtics and the Bucks, like, you don't have to huddle up every single time. You know what I mean? And like, and when you do, like,
I feel like they like,
figure
like,
it out.
Like, no, I feel like, did you see it? No, I didn't see it. Did you see it? No, I didn't, like, didn't see it either. No, just go to the tape.
No one saw shit. Like, that's the problem. And like, it's like, what are we doing here?
I didn't see shit. Did you see shit? I didn't see nothing.
Like, when is there going to be any accountability on that part?
It's like, at this point, it's like, let's just have, you know, Sakakis just referee these games, you know? Like,
you might as well, because the way you guys, exactly, like, and then they can huddle from where they're at and just announce it. Like, through
speakers. I think the stoppage, you know, it affected both teams, but I think it would help more Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee likes to play like that.
It always helps the team that's losing. It always does.
Like, it helped. No, but in terms of, like, going back to game one, Jan's going to the free throw line. He didn't go as many times in the second game. But in the first game, that's the way they like to play in terms of limiting the offense for the Celtics, because you know the Celtics love to run. You know the Celtics, when they force turnovers, they love to run in transition. You know, the running game, that's like the first thing that Ime said when he's like, we're going to run. Like, mm-hmm. when he got here, he was like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to speed up the game. And essentially, Milwaukee just loves to speed things down. That's just the way, like, Milwaukee's been for the last few years.
Yeah.
They love the half court set.
That's why Jimmy Toscano says that they're boring. It's like, I know they're good. I know Giannis is great, but it's boring. I'm like, yeah, they have that. That's the way they like to play.
It's kind of because, you know, Bud here, he's from the school of pop, him and Ime. But Ime is like, no, I'm gonna run. If I got an opportunity to run, I'm gonna run, and that's how we're gonna win ball games.
You see my two all stars out there? Yeah, we running.
Yeah,
we're gonna run.
My two youngins.
Yeah,
they're going to work.
They look good in open space.
Yeah, right? So
they blow by their defenders.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling I get in these two games is it's you know, and I hate series like this when it's like win one lose one.
Yeah,
because you know it's like you can't get a feel.
Yeah, because you see
like the different sides of or the weaknesses of each team or the adjustments.
Yeah, right? Like
you can't get a feel of what's going to happen next. That's how I feel about game three.
Before game two, I'm thinking like, yeah, they got, like Jalen said, you know, they got punched in the mouth, and I was like, they better blow these dudes out. Like that's, I think that was the only way you were going to respond technically, because if you're going to play that close game shit, like, you know, and I get it, they've gotten better in the late game execution, but you don't want to risk that at home going down, you know, 2-0. That would have been horrible. So they had to from the opening tip to the end of the game, just run them out the gym. And that's exactly what they did. But coming here in game three, I think, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to do the same thing. Mm. If Bud wants to stick to that game plan where it's like, yeah, just, you know, leave Grant wide open, you know, not that Derek White is the efficient 3-point shooter, but at some point those are going to start to fall, right? You would think.
Well, the thing about game three, right?
Like you and Pritchard, like
between Marcus potentially coming back and, you know, seeing how Jalen's going to respond with the hamstring, the extra days and all that, and seeing how the Bucks adjust. I think it's going to be interesting to see the Giannis game, right?
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen, right? Do the Celtics survive that? Or is this what we're going to – are we going to see more of the same, right? Giannis, if you keep Giannis under 40% from the floor, you've done your job in my
opinion. Yeah.
But what scares me is – or what's realistic is he's going to have that Giannis game. He's going to have that 40-point, 45-point game. And can the Celtics survive that? What I mean by that as well is because when those games happen – yeah, it's always the Giannis. Giannis is the guy who's headlining those games, but it's always the team's capital. I mean, the team starting to fall on him defensively that leads to open guys, that leads to a Jrue Holiday having a 25-point game. Like whenever Giannis has one of those big games, someone else also has a big game. And then you have the role players who, you know, that one guy, you know, maybe it's Connaughton or maybe it's going to be, you know, Grayson Allen. And once he finally stops thinking about what Jaylen Brown did to him.
Oof.
They have like a 4, 5, 6 3-point night, and it's game over after that. Like that's the explosive offense that's so hard to come back from, so hard to defend. How the Celtics going to be able to survive something like that? I mean, and if that's the case, you know, if the Celtics split these and they come back and this thing is 2-2, you know, in Boston for game five, that's not the worst place to be, you know, if you're the Celtics. But you got to steal one. I really do think the Celtics have to steal one. They stole game one. You have to go to Milwaukee and steal one of those games and make sure this thing is tied for game five.
I'm more fearful of the kind of performance Antetokounmpo had in game one, to be honest, because triple-double, these guys weren't missing. Right. He found the open guys.
Yes. Well, yeah, even that, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a win.
That's a win. Yeah, a well-rounded game from him is what I'm more fearful of.
Holiday's your MVP.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me, he was the MVP on both. What he was doing on both ends was just was tremendous.
He was the game's leading scorer in game one. Right. But if he goes off of 40 and no one else does, that's a win. I mean, obviously, it's a win for the series, but that's a good thing.
The Celtics survived that.
I think the Celtics survived that if no one else goes off. If you let it's the whole
usually go hand in hand.
But listen though. But the only reason why I say that is because someone like LeBron, maybe like over a decade ago, like he could score from anywhere. Antetokounmpo can't. He's a little bit limited there. He's got like three moves technically, right? The first one, we all know what the first one is: barrel down the lane, dunk, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like that is like the last thing he pulls out of his arsenal. When he's like not feeling it, he's like, all right, I'm just going to just go down the lane and see if I get fouled. Or the second one is posting you up. And he doesn't do that very often. Yeah. And then the third one is like the mid-range / the three-pointer, because he's not good really in both of those. And when he feels like, you know, no one's open, he'll try to just like, oh, I'm just going to surprise people and just boom. But most of the time it doesn't work out for him. So if, you know, the Celtics don't double team, I think that's probably the best way to get Giannis to shoot a poor percentage and not go to the free throw line. He went to the free throw line like maybe 10 times in the last game. Mm-hmm. So it's easier said than done, obviously, but I think if he has the type of game that he had in game one, Celtics might be in trouble.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Game three is going to be, I'm telling you, because of the extra days off. I feel like.
By the way, you know why they have the game is Saturday, not Friday?
Why?
Because there's like a rock festival happening in Milwaukee.
Is that
right? At Pfizer Forum. That's Pfizer Forum. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll have to hit that up.
No, go nuts, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's relevant, you know, it is, especially for a team like the Bucks. Like, you're heading home, like, you want that.
Yeah.
Know? That's a good thing. So
it becomes the best of five now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least the Celtics took care of business. I mean, you wanted to see what this team was made of. The first sign of adversity, and this is it. They haven't lost a playoff game. They haven't lost a game in a while, or at least one that.
Well, double digit loss was back in like February,
right?
For them, for
like
the Celtics,
a one where you're just like, okay, wow, they just flat out lost that one.
Yeah. So,
and that's exactly what happened in game one. You know, that game was done. I mean, they were waving the white flag towards the end. So we'll see what happens in game three. Of course, game four also in Milwaukee. Probably have a new episode between game four or five.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be that fun. That extra day off for travel.
We'll check in with Ducha, man. I'm sure he got some funny stories for us from Orlando, man. And I'm sure he's got some crazy takes on this series. I'll tell him to keep him on ice, man. He probably forgets.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna remind him.
Yeah,
like, yo, can you write these down?
But another, thing though that the Celtics did in Game Two that they hadn't done all playoffs was blow out a team. It didn't go down to the wire, so to speak.
Yeah,
kind of felt like that in the first series, but.
Right,
you know, that was a good bounce back for the Celtics and the Ime era.
Yeah, definitely. Let's wrap up this episode the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street, where we take our trip around the league with Joel's. In case you missed it,
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 Joel, what we miss?
You know, it's just the gift that keeps giving, so to speak. It just won't go away. It probably won't go away all off season, you know, even though we're still in the playoffs technically, but Ben Simmons, expected to need 3 to 4 months to make a full recovery on, you know, back surgery, according to ESPN. The expectation is that he will be ready well ahead of training camp. Whether he'll be there or not, anybody's guess, you know?
What? What happened? What? So he needs surgery now?
No, he underwent successful surgery.
But for what exactly? Like, it was the back. It was like, what are they fixing here? Like, what's the explanation with this one?
According to the Nets, he underwent successful microdiscectomy surgery.
But can you pinpoint
question mark
when this happened? Like, can they? Like, I don't understand how this is. Like, the whole back thing was just, they made it seem like it was mild. Like, they didn't, at any point did they ever indicate that he may need surgery?
I mean, we don't even know if it was a herniated disc. That's what they were saying. Well, that's what was coming out of Ben Simmons' camp. There never was an official, like, diagnosis of what the heck was going on with his back. And then I remember last episode I said there was a report that he was so much in his head that he might have caused the back pain because he had the yips. He didn't want to come back. He was afraid to come back. But now, you know, this comes out, you know, 3 to 4 month recovery. He should be back for that training camp. Should be is the key terms here. But who knows if he's going to come back. According to Discord, Ben Simmons had played Discord. Call of Duty for 23 straight hours.
Oh, Discord. Okay.
I don't know if how true that is, but that's floating around out there. While he was sitting out during the playoffs with, you know, back tightness, 23 straight hours of playing Call of Duty. We'll do that, though. It will do that.
No, that's got to be something like, you know, you it looks like you're logged on, but you're not. But still, it still screams that you're spending excessive hours playing video games.
Sitting down.
Jeez.
I mean, Paul Pierce even tweeted out, I'm trying to figure out, did I miss the game that Ben Simmons hurt his back? When did this all happen?
Seriously.
End quote.
And if it was that serious, why was it never mentioned before that he could go under the knife?
it's like,
gosh, man.
It's like, I don't want to play. My back hurts. I'm going to come back. Actually, I'm not going to come back. Back surgery.
I need surgery.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like,
what?
Surgery was never brought up once. Right. Never brought up once.
quite the range. All right, what else we missed?
All right, in case you missed it, Joel Embiid has missed, you know, the first two games of the series against between the 76ers and the Heat. Yo. And right now he's listed out for game three as the Heat are winning this series 2-0.
I hate to say it, but I'm looking at you, Doc. I'm looking at you, bro. Yeah. Me and Philly and Sixers Nation is staring at you right now. Like, my guy, what were you thinking?
But according to Woj, though, there is still progress that could be made to change his availability between when this podcast is being recorded and Friday's tip-off of Game 3 in Philly. And breaking news, James Harden still sucks.
You had me. I'm like, wait, what happened with James Harden now?
Still sucks. At this point, you're depending on Maxie.
Jeez.
And Tobias Harris has been missing since the bubble, since before the bubble.
When it rains, it pours. Philly, huh?
Philly, this ain't going to be your year.
Saying it.
This ain't the year.
Okay, real quick, though. Also, this might be Doc's last year in Philly.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it might be.
What, you think he's resigning?
I don't think it's going to be by choice.
Really?
Yeah, this is a tough one, man.
So who do you think they're bringing in? D'Antoni, who's reportedly, you know, searching for a job?
I don't think you cross that bridge after you do this one, after you do this tough thing. Because you know what? After the reports of hearing that the locker room had already gone sour with Doc, and then now you...
Oh, that Doc, possibly my coach the Lakers.
Well, no, not that. No, just that they don't like the guy.
Oh, wow.
like some of the star players, some of the featured players, just not crazy about Doc.
Oh, in case I missed it.
But because of the success of the team, you know? And then now, before that, with James Harden being added, I felt like they thought that would help bring him to the top or at least make him reach another level, but that didn't help. Mm-mm. And then now with this, you know, making this mistake and keeping Embiid in there for too long, man. I don't know. I just feel like things just been getting worse and worse for Doc and the Sixers.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
No.
It's not looking good. And meanwhile, Lowry's still out, and I don't think there's no rush for him to come back at this point.
Yo, the Heat, they're treating the series like it's the regular season, man. I low-key feel like they're looking at Boston. We're getting ready
rest
for
up.
Boston.
Rest up
for Boston rest or up, Milwaukee. Yes. Either one. They're like, listen, we got to make sure everyone, because look, they've been banged up all year long. You know, it's always been somebody with those guys.
Yeah. And for those that forgot, Victor Oladipo's on this team.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's been pulling out, you know, 15, 16 off the bench. Like,
bro, he's been banged up since since Gobert tested positive for COVID. Like, that's how long he's been since the world stopped back in March 2020. Like,
fucking Tyler Hero just won Sixth Man of the Year. Like it's looking pretty shiny down in Miami.
Yeah, man. They're not messing around.
All right. And in case you missed it, Gary Payne II, he's got a slight ligament damage along his fractured left elbow, according to the Warriors. He'll miss at least 3 weeks, but has not ruled out a return in case the Warriors make it to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Steve Kerr ain't happy. You know, called the play dirty. And because of the play by Dylan Brooks, you know, the hard foul that he didn't even go for the ball. It was just kind of smacked him across the head in the midair. I thought that was not necessary. I get it. You know, you don't want to stop the layup. But
yeah. You know what it was, man?
But, I mean, the NBA has suspended Brooks for game three in that series.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like you sort of had to, man, just because of the outcome and because, you know, it just has to set a precedent for everyone, for the entire league.
Yo, he knew immediately.
Things are getting chippy right now.
Immediately when he went down, he's like, fuck.
Yeah, he knew. See, yeah. The way I saw it, and I've seen it, obviously, just like everybody else,
yeah,
replay more than three, four, five times.
Awful.
I felt like it was one of those, like, frustration fouls where it's like, you want to get your money's worth, but you also want to, like, you want to, you're going for the ball, clearly, but you want to get your money's worth. And I just feel like he took his frustration out on essentially his neck, man. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't his intention, mm-mm, but the frustration was there. If that makes sense.
I see what you're saying.
So because I don't think the intent
exactly was to hurt him.
Right.
But you did.
Because if you really want to hurt somebody, you're not going to be anywhere near the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Like whether he injured himself or not, that wasn't the play.
Right.
That wasn't the play.
Right. Like, so I think the flagrant two was
warranted. Yeah.
Warranted. But I also think the way everyone responded and the way, obviously, Payton's body responded to it, the NBA had to suspend him.
Yeah.
They had to. I think they made the right call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another little piece of news to come out from this series, Draymond Green has been fined $25,000 for showing everybody he's number one in Memphis. He flipped off the crowd when he was
Yo, is it because he went back out there? Because I was like, wait, when is that allowed? Like, no. When did they let that happen? Like,
no, he got hurt. You know, he got elbowed to the face. Blood was coming down. He had to go get stitches. And he did it, according to him, because the crowd was cheering that he.
Oh wait, you talking about after game two?
No. This was in the middle of game one.
Oh, this is before he got ejected.
This was Tuesday night. No, game two. I'm sorry. Two. So this was.
Oh, okay. They're talking about game one.
No, game one.
He went back out there. I was like, he's gonna get fined for that. I didn't think. Once you get ejected, I thought you're good for the court after that. Like, you're not coming back out to the court.
This incident happened in game two.
Okay.
So this is after Dylan had got ejected. And so then he got hit in the face.
Oh, you're talking about after the flagrant. My bad.
After Brooks.
I thought you were just talking about something separately.
Yeah, no. After Brooks got ejected, this happened later on in the same game. Got hit in the face. Blood was coming down. He had to go get stitches. So as he's like, you know, laying there, and they're like trying to you know, clean him up a little bit before he goes to the back to get his stitches, the crowd is cheering. Like, you know, he got mad, got up, flipped, you know, both middle fingers, not just one, both of them.
Two birds.
Wow. Not just, yeah, both of them.
Wow.
Walked out. That's and aggressive. Then after the game, obviously he got asked, and he says, you're going to cheer when I'm sitting there, you know, blood scoring down my face or whatever. So he's like, you know what? I'll take the fine. So it felt good to flip him off or whatever. You know, if we remember, and the first round, obviously Kyrie Irving.
I respect it.
Did the something similar, wasn't two fingers. Well, actually, no, it was like three different time that he flipped the crowd off.
Yeah.
$50,000.
But Kyrie wasn't bleeding though.
He was, exactly. So this one's $25,000. I really thought it was gonna be $50,000 the way like the things have been going in the NBA, you know, playoffs so far.
Yeah.
So I think the NBA took into account, yeah, it was fucked up what the crowd did.
Yeah.
So $25,000. And he's like, I make $25 million a year, so it's not gonna hurt me. I'll just make that money up. You know, he's like, he goes, I'll take the fine. It's whatever.
I don't even think you're mean to do this, but you kind of sound like Draymond, but spot up. I'll take the fine. Sound just like him. That's exactly how you would say it.
I'll take the fine. That's all good.
Talking from the side of his mouth.
Fucking Mr. Mouth Breather, Draymond Green.
Over an interview? Like, wow. Like, he got an interview.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Right?
Talk about that? Remember that?
Yeah.
The Durant thing when he was making fun of the Celtics fans for booing Durant.
Yeah. The first time after he signed with the Warriors.
Yeah. It's just like.
Yeah. Like.
Where you been,
man? Yeah, this right? Is, like, come on, bro.
Yeah, this is Boston. Man.
Not everybody's fortunate as you to play with, you know,
right.
Three future Hall of Famers at that point because it was KD, you know, Clay, and Steph. It's like, relax.
Ain't no Tom Brady trying to break bread with you and try to convince you to come to Boston, right? It was a big deal in Boston.
Let me tell you this.
It was a big deal, Draymond.
Let me tell you this. If whatever, he becomes a free agent and the Warriors goes, we're good with you, it's going to be a sad day for Draymond Green. I really do. It's going to be a sad
day. You think that day's going to happen, though?
Not anytime soon. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I think he's on his current deal. I think if I'm not mistaken, another 2 to 3 more years. I think his extension just kind of kicked in. So enjoy this, Draymond. Enjoy this because it's going to be a sad day for you when the realization that, like, I think I'm going to have to, you know, stick with TNT and my podcast to make dough. I'm just saying, you know.
I could see him not wanting to go to another team and just say, you know what, I'm done. I could see that happen.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be loyal, and it's like, nah, man. When the Warriors say they're done with you, they're gonna be like, they're done with you.
So it's like, I'm gonna be loyal. It's like, nah, you're heartbroken.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And you can't play for another team because of it.
Yeah, because not only that,
I can see that.
You're good for Steve Kerr's system.
Yeah, that's another thing too.
Sorry,
well, it is what it is. When Father Time, you know, yeah, that's true, but it'll amplify the fact that like he's over the hill. Yeah,
like, you know, Iguodala came back because he's like, I missed being here.
Yeah,
and he's injured right now, so it's gonna catch up to him too. Like, I think it's time to call it quits.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It is what it is.
It happens quickly.
It does. It happens in a blink of an eye. when you start seeing the grays in the beard. It's coming soon.
Oh, come on.
It's coming soon.
He's not your daughter's Haslam.
Yo, fair Haslam looks younger than fucking Draymond right now.
Come on, man.
Yo, real
take that back. That's not true.
I will not take it back. That's true.
No.
Go Google his ass.
He's not unk level yet. He's on his way, but he's like baby unk.
He looks like him. I'm not saying he is like, you know, he is, you know, unk Dre. He's not, you know, unk Mond, whatever they call him these days. All right. In case you missed it, I guess some good news for one of the LA teams, the Clippers. give an extension to Robert Covington, 2 years, $24 million. I think
it's a start.
Yeah, it works.
It's a start.
If Kawhi Leonard decides he wants to be healthy, maybe the Clippers can go somewhere this year.
Whenever you
this next season, sorry.
Whenever you decide you want to play basketball again, man, just that'd be great for them.
They're not doing the Brooklyn thing where it's just like they were talking about Ben Simmons all the time. Like, oh, I mean, you know, it's whenever he wants to play. They don't mention Kawhi at all, bro. They're like,
we got nothing.
Bro, we didn't even know he had a part. We didn't even know he tore his ACL. They just said he had a knee injury in the playoffs last summer. Last spring.
Man, Kawhi went back home during the pandemic. He's chilling.
Bro, he had a knee injury the whole playoffs. Chilling. And then in the summertime, they were like, oh, yeah, he had surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. He had a partially torn ACL. You don't say.
My dude recorded a rap album. He's breaking bread with family and friends he hasn't seen in a while.
Making commercials. Yo, he's been very vocal with everything besides basketball since he made it to the Clippers.
It's like, yo, man.
He's really coming out of the show.
Can we see you do a drill real quick? Like, can we see you back on the court anytime soon?
Seriously.
But he's living his best life, so good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. And he signed an extension, too, last summer, remember?
Of course he did. Of course. The Clippers got no damn choice, man. It's him and PG. This is it. This is what they signed up for.
And
everybody else
least,
is gone, right? This is it. You signed up for this program. You got to see it through now.
You know, Ty Lue was like, I got nothing. Like, we traded for Norman Powell. Like, you know, we're trying here.
At least they got Morris. So that's my guy.
Yeah. He's going to be there for a few more years.
What up, Mook?
And last but not least, in case you missed it, the Bucks actually gave an update on Chris Middleton. Not that he's coming back anytime soon, but, you know, he continues to make steady progress on his left knee, you know, during his rehabilitation. And, you know, any additional updates will obviously be provided during the series, I'm guessing, because after that, there's really no point. I mean, they're still even if the Bucks, according to the Bucks, were to make it past this round, there's no guarantee that he'll even be ready for that. So
yeah. So that's why they were saying he's ruled out for the entire series
For those that forgot, that MCL sprain, it's a grade 2 MCL sprain that he's suffered in game 2 against the Bulls. So
yeah.
You know, the Bulls were happy for about a game.
No, that's a bad joke. He's not going to play game 7. Sorry. Terrible joke. Get well soon.
But not too soon.
He's such a trooper. Not too soon. But take it easy. No. he's such a true professional, man. It's just an efficient score. Just, yeah, man, you hate to see it. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for this playoff edition of In Case You Missed It. Hit us up on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. So he's making the trek out to Milwaukee, one of his favorite cities.
Joel's lying.
So he'll be snapping away.
You are a liar.
You're going to take a Brewers game? You're going to take in a Brewers game, right?
I hate Milwaukee.
You going to that Rock Fest I hear?
Actually, the Brewers game was probably the best thing I ever did in Milwaukee. And that was like 3 years ago.
So. What is that? What is their thing? Cheese curls? What is that?
Oh, cheese curds.
Cheese curds.
Yo, I got to get some cheese curds.
There you go. Yes. See? I just got them excited. So.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I'm looking forward to outside of basketball, obviously. But
Snap that for us.
I think I was the only one crossed my fingers for the Chicago Bulls in that series. Like, come on. Send me to the Shy. I want to go to the Shy. I've never even been inside the United Center, man. I went to the Jordan statue one time.
Yes.
Once. But there wasn't even a game. I just made the trip because I just had to do it. Yeah, to cross it off my basketball bucket list.
How long is that train ride? It's real quick. Right?
It's like 45 minutes. Yeah. So the last time I was out there, instead of spending my off day in the great city of Milwaukee, I took a train out to Chicago and I got to kick it with the Jordan statue.
And then you just got back on the train and came back?
I kicked it with the Jordan statue. Yeah. And then I took like 27 pictures and went back to my hotel.
All angles. That's what's up. So yeah, so
you got the side eye from the locals and then got into my Uber and I left.
So besides, you know, Sway's great commentary on the city of Milwaukee, you can catch him.
Give me some cheese curds though. Cheese curds are bomb.
You can catch him on the post game show on CLNS. Don't forget to hit that up after every game.
And if you don't know what cheese curds are, they're pretty much like bite size. I want to say like mozzarella sticks, but the breading is different though. It's almost like bite size mozzarella sticks, but instead of mozzarella, it's cheddar cheese in that motherfucker.
That might be a game changer right there.
There you go.
That might be a game changer.
Oh, it's good. Right.
And good. Also, hit up CosbyStreet.com for your Celtics playoff coverage. Subscribe to our Patreon. That's Patreon.com. I'm going to
bring back some cheese curds.
Yeah, yeah. I got to try this.
We'll throw them in a toaster oven.
You know? I got to try it. Like, the way you describe it, it sounds great. I'm afraid I'm going to be let down for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't want you to get too. That's the thing. I don't want to be like, it's amazing, but it's good. It's a nice little treat.
Yo, interview a local for the for the after hours.
About what? Cheese curds?
Just in general. Just about life.
All right.
You know, like.
Yo, that's funny you say that. I almost did that in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I almost did that. I spoke to local. I just didn't record any conversations. But yeah. I mean, I kept the basketball. You know, the content's going up this week, by the way. Grant Williams, Jalen Brown. I got a few minutes with those guys. So that was fun. That's going to be on Patreon. But then, yeah, it's just speaking to like local, like Brooklynites, as they're called down there.
That's for certain.
Yeah, that's for certain. It was pretty cool, man. Getting hearing from like older guys who've seen the city transform to, you know, to what it is now, and how this team is you know, been a big part of it too. That transition.
I hear they go hard out there. Is that true?
All right.
See for this and even better content, patreon.com/causeway. All right.
Get your old man joke out of here.
The after hours. The Causeway after hours. You got the after show podcast. You got the Sway 101 podcast.
Yes, actually, you know what?
Giveaways coming out too.
Jalen was cool, but also Grant, man, I had a really good conversation with Grant right outside the bus. Just talking about the transformation of this team and the turning point. The proverbial turning point.
He said fuck KD, I heard it.
And some other stuff too, yeah. Nah, he didn't say that, but some other stuff too. Some good stuff. Some good back and forth between Grant and I, man. And then he went out and did what he did in game two about a week later. So shout out to Grant, man.
So I think
playoff Grant's real. It's a real thing, guys.
That had to do with Sway. He had a great conversation. He was like, you know what?
Yes, it was me.
I'm gonna do it for Sway. I'm gonna do it for Causeway, you know? Right. That's what it is. So, you know, don't forget to subscribe, you know. It goes a long way in terms of us doing what we do. And we appreciate the love. Any last
minute? Yes, absolutely. Plus, it's hilarious. So check us out. Patreon.com/causeway.
Hell yeah. And as always, Black Lives Matter. Let's stop Asian hate. Let's pray for peace in the Middle East as we stand with the Ukraine. And until next time, we are out.